D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
How do you know that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? We'll consider those questions and one man's search to disprove the resurrection today on Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. There is an active effort afoot today to silence Christians and to marginalize the Christian faith. Sadly, in an era of relativism, where I have my truth and you have your truth, many do not realize that the Christian faith is built on a solid foundation of evidence. On today's program, we're going to look at some of that evidence. You'll meet a man who set out to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what he discovered shocked him. And as we begin, we're joined by our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb, who co-wrote more than a dozen books with Dr. Kennedy and has written many others on his own. We're going to look at the evidence for Christianity. Jerry, welcome. It's good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Frank. Great to be back.
When we talk about a search for truth, as it relates to Christian truth, that search has to begin with the Scriptures, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Tell us why.
Well, the Bible is the Word of God, and we believe it not just because it claims to be the Word of God, but there's all sorts of evidence as to why the Bible is the Word of God. For example, the Bible was written over a period of hundreds of years, and there are several prophecies in the Bible that later get fulfilled. In other words, we know for sure that certain writings were written before Jesus was born, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, and then Jesus fulfilled those things. And it, to the point where when mathematicians have calculated odds, they have discovered this is impossible if this were not the truth, that this man would fulfill these things.
Jerry, you worked with Dr. Kennedy for many, many years, as have others. He placed a strong emphasis on what's called biblical apologetics. Now, that's not making an apology. Tell us what an apologetic is and how Dr. Kennedy employed them.
Well, an apologetic is basically an answer as to the reason you believe in the faith. And I think one aspect of Dr. Kennedy that always attracted me to his teaching was the fact that he would always build into whatever it was he was speaking about some reasons to believe it. And I remember one anecdote he told about how he heard a radio talk show in South Florida, and there was this atheist chewing up Christians who would call him up, and he would spit them out, this atheist did. And Dr. Kennedy tried to call and couldn't reach the man. And he realized that so many Christians are not well equipped to explain why they believe the Bible, why we believe in Jesus, why we believe Jesus rose from the dead, etc. And so he ended up writing a book about it so that Christians could be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us, which is a fulfillment of what Peter talks about, 1 Peter 3:15.
Right.
And by the way, the Greek word there is a reason for believing, or the answer is the word apologetic. And that's where we get that phrase or word.
So it's a Greek word that it basically means to defend a truth, to defend.
Right.
Jesus made extraordinary claims about himself. And we would argue that he validated those claims by rising from the dead. We really can't just dismiss the person of Christ. There are only a few options available to us when it comes to Christ. What are they?
Well, Jesus said he was divine, and either he was crazy when he said that, or he was deceiving people, he was a liar, or he was the Lord. And of course, all the character signs show that he was the Lord. The fact that he rose from the dead, again, shows that he was the Lord.
So, he's either a liar or a crazy person or the Lord of the universe.
Yeah.
And that poses a question that demands a response of all men and women, doesn't it? What is it?
Yes, it does, because the bottom line is Jesus Christ has a claim to every one of us. You know, every beat of the human heart is by the grace of Jesus Christ. And when he says, enough, it's over. And then comes the accountability. It is to Jesus Christ that the Father has entrusted judgment to this world. Every one of us, no matter who you are, no matter what you believe, is going to give an account to Jesus Christ for your life one day, because the Father has entrusted judgment to him. And this is important that we be prepared for that. And we need to understand that nobody is perfect. Nobody lives up to the standards that God demands for us. But Jesus was perfect. And Jesus, as the perfectly divine human, offered himself up as a sacrifice for sinners so that our sins can be forgiven. Let's put it this way. All of us are going to have our sins punished. The question is, are you going to let Jesus receive the punishment for your sins on the cross 2,000 years ago? Or are you going to go ahead and be separated from God for all eternity and have to pay the penalty, the due penalty for your own sins?
So the scriptures say it's appointed for man once to die, and after that comes the judgment.
Yes.
And at that judgment, we'll stand before Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, and render an account of our lives.
Yes. We will stand before him, and quite honestly, none of us are prepared in and of ourselves through our own supposed good works. As the Reformation motto goes, the just shall live by faith. It's important to realize that we can't be saved by our own good works. But there is a sense in which we can be saved by good works. And that is the good works of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus was fully divine. And he was fully human. And he lived a perfect life and then offered himself as a sacrifice for sinners on our behalf, so that if we accept him as our Savior and Lord, after having repented of our sins, we can find the free gift of eternal life. And what a difference it makes in our lives when we do so.
Jerry, great to have you with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Pleasure to have you here. At the center of the Christian faith, indeed, at the center of all human history, stands the event that happened on Easter Sunday morning nearly 2,000 years ago. But how do we know it's true? Here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with a portion of his message, How I Know Christ Rose from the Dead.
The adherents of most of the great religions of the world can take their friends, if they happen to be traveling to the right spot, to a certain place and say with some, I believe, misguided pride that here is the grave of our great founder. This Christians cannot do, because we cannot say here lies the body of the great founder of the Christian religion, because the tomb is empty and Jesus is not there. He has risen from the dead. Today I would like to speak to you on the subject, how I know that Christ rose from the dead. And this is one of the most important things that we can ever know in this world. And I'd like to quickly mention three reasons why it's important. It's important because this is the foundation of our faith. With the resurrection stands or falls the Christian religion. As Paul said, if Christ be not raised, we are of all men most miserable. We are yet in our sins. Secondly, it is the resurrection to which we can repair in times of doubt and trial. When it may seem that other things are going wrong and questions come into our mind, we can always go to the resurrection, flee there to that great Gibraltar of our faith, and find solace for our souls in the certainty of our salvation rested upon the many infallible proofs that Christ has given of his resurrection life. And thirdly, because it's the most powerful weapon in the arsenal of the Christian soldier. Those who would be effective witnesses for Christ need to realize that the resurrection is the unassailable fortress of Christianity. And all of the efforts of all of the skeptics down through the centuries have utterly failed to even put a dent in it. To give you some idea of how solid and certain is the evidence for the resurrection, let me just give you my conclusion first. Many people believe that Christianity is based upon legends or myths or uncertainties and things that we really don't know about, and the wish is really father of the thought, and that these all disappear into the mists of time, and there's no real solid evidence for it at all. Well, they could not possibly be more mistaken. The number of testimonies from historians and legal scholars is so innumerable that it would take me the rest of this message just to quote them. So I'll limit myself to one. Professor Thomas Arnold is, of course, the author of the famous three-volume History of Rome. I was appointed to the chair of modern history at Oxford. Now, Oxford is the most prestigious institution of higher learning in the world. And to be appointed to the chair of modern history is indeed a tremendous honor. This great historian and scholar said this. Listen carefully. Quote, I have been used for many years to study the histories of other times and to examine and weigh the evidence of those who have written about them. And I know of no one fact in the history of mankind which is proved by better and fuller evidence of every sort to the understanding of a fair inquirer than the great sign which God has given us that Christ died and rose again from the dead. Again, this great professor, modern history, Oxford, said, I know of no one fact in all of history which is proved by better and fuller evidence of every sort than the resurrection of Christ. My friends, if the resurrection of Christ be not true, then we don't know anything about anything in all of the history of the world. Because this is the best proved single fact of all.
In the full version of this message, which we'll offer you an opportunity to obtain a little later in this program, Dr. Kennedy goes on to detail the four major evidences for the resurrection, while also refuting the unbelieving naturalistic explanations given for denying that Christ rose from the grave. You are about to meet one man who set out to discredit Christianity by sifting through the evidence to prove that the resurrection was false. But Lee Strobel's quest challenged everything he believed.
I've spent my entire career as a journalist uncovering the truth until the day my wife presented me with the biggest story of my life.
I'm not going to lose my wife and my kids to something that I can't even reason with.
And what happened next changed me forever.
The Case for Christ movie dramatizes the real-life events when self-proclaimed atheist Lee Strobel finds out his wife Leslie suddenly came to faith in Jesus Christ.
Mom. Who's Jesus?
We are atheists. Atheists don't believe in God.
When I became a believer in Christ and I came to Lee and talked to him about that, I could just sense a wall going up emotionally.
I talked to Jesus. I told him I want him in my life.
What? Why?
What?
Verbally, he was pretty pretty adamant on how he felt about things. He told me that he didn't want me going to church. He didn't want me giving them any money. And he didn't want me to be bugging him about going with me to church.
Well, you know, my background's in journalism and law, so I tend to be someone who responds to evidence and facts and data. So I think that that was a contributor to me being an atheist. I wouldn't say it's the only contributor. I think it usually isn't for people. I think intellectual obstacles can be a problem, but there's also emotional issues and moral issues. You know, I was happy in my sin. I didn't want to change my life. And, you know, I had a difficult relationship with my father. And often, as we've seen through history of famous atheists, that can lead to people who are reticent or reluctant to meet a heavenly father if their earthly father's hurt or disappointed them. Yeah.
For Lee, he needed facts. He wanted to know the history that it was involved. He needed to know exactly what there was out there that he could look at and investigate to know whether the claims of Christ were true. For me, I didn't need that. It was a personal relationship right off the bat for me, and God made himself very clear to me in just reading the scriptures and having them come alive.
The fact that the Gospels are filled with contradictions about the empty tomb, okay? If I turned in a story that was this jumbled, I'd be out of a job.
In response to his wife's newfound faith, Lee Strobel set out to prove her wrong. As an award-winning investigative journalist with the Chicago Tribune, Lee made it a project to disprove, once and for all, the claims of Christianity, specifically the claim that Jesus rose from the dead.
Sure, there are differences, but that doesn't trouble most historians.
Why? Why isn't that trouble? It troubles me. It should trouble them.
Because the core...
1 Corinthians 15:17, where he said, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. So, in a sense, he's saying, if you can falsify the Christian faith by showing the resurrection didn't happen, you're fully justified in walking away.
If the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen, it's a house of cards.
And it was just a close to a 2-year investigation process, but one that really, at times, had us both wondering whether we would survive it.
Do you really want to know the truth, or is your mind already made up?
In his effort to disprove it, Lee Strobel had to take an honest look at the evidence for the resurrection for the first time.
So, we look at the evidence. What is the evidence? Well, first, the execution of Jesus is historically indisputable. We have 5 ancient sources outside the Bible confirming his execution. Even the great atheist New Testament scholar, Gerd Ludemann, says that Jesus' death by crucifixion is indisputable. Secondly, the empty tomb. What hit me about that is even the opponents of Jesus conceded that the tomb was empty. And we have sources outside and inside the Bible that tell us that when the disciples began proclaiming that Jesus had risen, what the opponents said was, the disciples stole the body. Now, what is that? That's a cover story. They're conceding the tomb is empty. They're trying to explain how it got empty.
Right.
So nobody was saying that the tomb was filled with the body of Jesus. Everybody was saying it was gone. And then thirdly, and perhaps the clincher, is that we have 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament confirming and corroborating the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the resurrected Jesus. That is an avalanche of historical data. When you consider most of what we know from ancient history is from 1 or 2 sources, but 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament, that is a convincing amount of evidence that convinced me that the disciples encountered the resurrected Jesus. It changed their lives. It changed everything about them. They were willing to die for it. We have 7 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament that say that the disciples were willing to suffer lives of deprivation and suffering as a result of their proclamation.
After 1 year and 9 months of investigating the evidence confirming the reality that Christ indeed rose from the dead, it was time for Strobel to reach a verdict.
So I sat down, reviewed all the evidence, and realized that in light of the avalanche of evidence that points so powerfully toward the truth of Christianity, it would have taken more faith to maintain my atheism than to become a Christian, that the scales had tipped decisively. So I said, I believe it. I believe based on the data that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, he backed it up by returning from the dead. But that's not enough. Because I looked at John 1:12. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in his name. So I said, okay, that forms an equation of what it means to become a child of God. Believe plus receive equals become.
The Sunday afternoon that Lee became a Christian was just one of those that's burned into my memory, because it was, first of all, a surprise. I had no idea he was that close to becoming a Christian.
It's not just knowing. It's not just believing. There's receiving. And so that next step of saying, repenting of your sin, confessing it, turning from it, receiving this free gift of forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says you become born again. Then you become a child of God. Now you can have a relationship with God that will be the biggest joy of your life in this world, and then continue on in a perfect way in the world to come.
Lee Strobel set out to disprove the truth of Christianity, but he discovered that he couldn't do it, and he became a believer. That's how powerful the objective truth of Christianity is. But how many don't know that? Do you know it? Would you be able to explain to a friend or loved one why they should believe Jesus is God, or that he rose from the dead? Well, we have some outstanding resources to help you do that. And here's my very good friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, to tell us more. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. My dad, Dr. D. James Kennedy, loved setting out the facts of Christianity. He was an educated man with a doctorate from New York University. And he loved showing that the intellect confirms the Christian faith rather than disproving it. He preached some of his greatest messages on those subjects, and we want to share the cream of the crop with you today. We've put together a series of messages which are included in the brand new Kennedy Collection hardcover book, How I Know. Among the topics my father covers are how I know there is a God, how I know the Bible is the Word of God, how I know Jesus is God, and how I know Christ rose from the dead. And we want to send you this important book as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Each of the messages in this book deals with a subject that should be essential biblical knowledge for those who profess to love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as for those who are seeking to know Him. And we're also making these messages available on a 4-DVD or 4-CD set. You saw just a short portion of the message, How I Know Christ Rose from the Dead, earlier in this program. In this set, you can watch the full message as well as three other full-length messages, which are some of the best my father ever preached. The Apostle John writes in the Bible, These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We are not left to guess about the truth. God intends for us to know that He's real, that Christ is His Son, and that He rose from the dead. Find the truth that will solidify the foundation under you and help build a foundation for new believers or even those who've not yet come to faith. We'll send you the hardcover book and the 4-DVD or 4-CD set, How I Know, as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
During the recent total eclipse, one actor/comedian tweeted to his 50,000 followers, Religious people, take this moment to realize that your beliefs came from people misunderstanding events such as this. Of course, this sort of smugness may be why only a very small percentage of people identify as atheists. But it also demonstrates incredible ignorance. First, it overlooks the fact that modern science, the very thing he bows to, is largely a product of Christianity. It was Christians thinking God's thoughts after him, as the astronomer Johannes Kepler put it, who gave us modern science. The atheistic worldview in which the entire universe accidentally popped into being without reason or guidance would make science impossible if atheists were not continuing to borrow intellectual wood from the Christian log pile to build their own edifice. But beyond that, this actor's assumption is that ancient people were ignoramuses who commonly mistook natural phenomenon for supernatural ones. However, such a view is simply historically and theologically illiterate. Babylonian clay tablets show eclipse records for more than 1,000 years before Christ. The ancients knew it was the moon eclipsing the sun and were even able to predict eclipses. It's common to attribute backwardness to ancient people, but they knew where babies came from also, which is why Christ's virgin birth was properly considered a miracle. And they knew dead men stay dead. So when they saw Jesus Christ crucified by the Roman government, his dead body placed in a tomb, and 3 days later discovered the tomb was empty, with the risen Jesus Christ being seen by hundreds of people, they knew it was a supernatural miracle. The only people who think such things are easy to dismiss are those who've never seriously looked at them. Skeptics have tried for millennia to find alternate explanations for the empty tomb on Easter morning, and all of them have failed. No scientific explanation makes sense of the historical data. No explanation except the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, if our actor friend would have tweeted that, well, that would be saying something. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
We are surrounded everywhere we turn with the Bible's influence, and that's one thing that we're trying to show in the museum.
The Bible is the most astonishing and incredible book in the entire history of the human race. And Christians have always believed that it was the Word of God.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.